Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time. We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to examine what Jude taught about the profile of the heretics. So let's read verse 10 of Jude again together. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed. Now in this verse, Jude shows us how the heretics are being led by their animalistic instincts and not by the Spirit of God. The Bible is very clear, dear friends, from cover to cover, that false teachers and false prophets and heretics are always motivated by greed and arrogance and lust and carnality. They are never motivated by love and joy and peace. These people spend their words on temporal issues and not eternal issues. They talk about worldly things and not heavenly things. They live and move among the things that are fleshly, not the things that are eternal. The Bible says they are sensual, not spiritual. They are the here and now and not the then and later. The heretics deal only with money and cars and jobs and homes, good feelings, boyfriends, girlfriends, health, and those things that will pass away because they cannot deal with sin and salvation, holiness and purity and righteousness and peace and joy and love. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. We are told to occupy on this earth, so the natural things in life are very important to us, and thank God they are also important to God. So when I talk about these things, I am not talking about the necessities of life. I am talking about men who minister the earthly things in place of the eternal things. I am talking about men who, through their teachings, equate being wealthy with being saved. I am talking about men who teach that feeling good about yourself is the same thing as being born again. I am talking about men who teach that when God physically heals you, it is because you exercised more faith than somebody else, and that is simply not true. These brute beasts speak in tones that belie their animalistic natures, and they lead others by their lust to accumulate more of this world's goods rather than a genuine love for God. Like I said, God does indeed bless His people, but that blessing has always been automatic, and those blessings were sure, and God's provision was certain, because it was predicated on us being saved and belonging to Jesus and doing God's will, not secret formulas and certain prayers. For example, if God has called you to do something for Him, then God will supply the need. But that doesn't mean that what you do will be easy, and it doesn't mean you won't run into hardships or be persecuted or even suffer greatly. And as you do what God has told you to do, you may very well have to radically adjust your life, and you may well go to the brink of disaster, but God will always provide for that which is His will. And that is because God is faithful, and Jesus never fails. For example, when the pilgrims left England to travel across the Atlantic Ocean in sailboats, they believed that God was leading them to depart from the safety and security of their homeland to begin a new nation. When they arrived after many grueling months at sea, they fell on their knees in the sand and dedicated this nation to the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, many people believe that all was well and they just breezed right into this new republic, but that's not at all what happened. The first winter they were here, 60% of them died. They either starved to death or they froze to death in the bitter cold. It was when they were facing certain destruction during their second winter here that God sent the Indians to feed them, and that is why we had the first Thanksgiving. Now, based upon what is taught today, if that happened to us, many of us would feel as though God had abandoned us and that He was not living up to His end of the deal. But the pilgrims didn't feel that way at all, but were gracious and humble and thankful for God's mercy in the face of great odds. So even though God has promised to sustain us, that does not mean that we will not struggle. God is under no obligation whatsoever to bless whatever it is you and I are doing simply because we thought it might be a good idea. The Bible does not teach that God will rescue us at all. if we are irresponsible or sinful or lazy or arrogant or lustful or rebellious, and then we get into a jam. That is not an issue of God's faithfulness. That is an issue of our sinful hearts. To teach people that God will give you a new car for no other reason other than you gave some money to their ministry is fleecing the sheep. It is preying on our tendency to be materialistic. We should give because we believe in what that person is doing and teaching, and we want to support the work of God, regardless of whether we get anything out of it or not. Much of the modern teaching about the issue of giving is nothing more than a slick technique to make merchandise of the people of God and to fleece them, and that is wrong no matter who does it. To teach that you need to feel deprived and that you need to ask God to bless you simply because you don't have it as good a house as somebody else is not being spiritual, dear friends. It is promoting covetousness and is the height of being carnal and sensual and sinful. It is not spiritual to accumulate more things, beloved. It isn't being spiritual to constantly ask God for shiny new toys. It's not being heavenly. It is not providing God. It is not proving God's favor to always have more money. That is being worldly. Jesus said it is what the pagan, unsaved nations of the world seek after. But while teaching people to be content with what God has already provided may not be very popular today, that is what the Bible says we are to teach. And when we can be sincerely grateful and thankful for whatever God has graciously given, and when we learn humility, and when we learn the responsibility of living within our means and the incredible joy that godly contentment brings, and when we experience the unbelievable blessing of being satisfied and not constantly coveting more of this world's goods, that is being spiritual. Constantly gearing and focusing our prayers toward things that our hearts crave rather than the will of God is to pray out of order, brothers and sisters. One of the main purposes of prayer is not to get stuff from God, but it is to learn the discipline of waiting on God, learning to trust the Lord, learning to rejoice just as much when God says no as you do when He says yes. And when a ministry is constantly encouraging God's people to focus on the earthly things rather than the heavenly things, they are operating as animals, not as ministers of God. Now, I fully realize that preaching like this will never win me a popularity award, but that is the gospel. We have got to admit that our hearts lust after things all the time that are not the will of God. Our sinful nature is to feed ourselves, to puff up our own flesh, to pad our own nests, to live to ourselves and for ourselves. That is our human nature. That is the nature of sin and self and lust and greed and arrogance and pride. And because that is true, godly ministry will never promote things like that. Godly ministry will cry out against things like that. Those are the very things that the Bible warns us over and over that we should not be caught up in. So to pray or to seek after the fulfillment of those things does not bring glory to God. It does not edify us in Jesus Christ. All that things like that does is feed our sinful flesh. It is putting gasoline on the fire of our own carnal lust, and that is not helping our walk with God. It is not causing us to trust God more. It is not causing us to walk in love. It isn't causing us to live and walk in the Spirit. It is not causing us to be useful for God's kingdom. It is simply feeding our animalistic desires that the Scripture says we are supposed to mortify. And these ministries, those ministries that are geared to do nothing but to fan those fires, are not doing anybody any favors. They are feeding the monster of self that hinders us all so much. If anyone on earth should not be following the ways of the world as it comes to blessing and prosperity, it ought to be God's people. Yet many of the tactics that these ministries use come right out of the same playbook that lost, unsaved, unregenerate souls use. What I am saying is especially true in America, where everything that we do, including serve God, is judged by how successful it is. We judge a ministry as being godly and holy based upon how many people sit in the pews. If there are thousands, then it's got to be holy, right? If thousands upon thousands of people are reading a new book, then it must be of God, right? If a particular theology is being preached and taught all around the country, and it is very well received by the masses of people, then it must be from the Lord, right? Wrong. It may well be of God, but it may also be an outright lie. Popularity is never used in Scripture to determine validity. How many people agree with something is not a sign at all that it is biblical. Jesus did not minister based upon majority rules. Moses didn't lead the people out of Egypt because they got together and formed a committee and voted him in. He led them even when they didn't want to be led. He led them even when they asked God to open the ground and swallow up the rebels. He led them because God had told him to, not because anybody agreed with him. To be sure, it is easier to minister when everyone is in one mind and one accord. But there are many, many examples in the Bible of men doing exactly what God had told them to do, and nobody agreed with them. Jeremiah prophesied the word of God verbatim from the very heart and mouth of God for 40 years and never had a single convert. Was he a failure? No. Noah built a boat in the middle of the desert and preached righteousness for 120 years and had 8 people in his church. Was he out of the will of God? No. He obeyed God totally and is used as one of the only 2 examples of what things will be like when Jesus comes back. All throughout the Bible and all over the world today, a ministry is judged to be right or wrong, not based upon how many people are being healed, although healing is wonderful. Their ministry is judged to be right with God, not based upon how many millionaires or celebrities are in the congregation, or how many people can fall down during the service, or how many people feel blessed by what was said, or how many people got a revelation from the service. No, throughout the Bible and all over the world, except in the American church, a ministry is judged to be of God based upon how faithful they are to the Word of God. How faithful they are to teach what the Scripture says, even when it's not popular. Are they faithful to warn every man to repent before they go into eternity unsaved and unwashed? Are they faithful to teach sound doctrine? Are they faithful to make sure that they go to the backslider and beg him with tears to come home? Are they faithful to the adulterer to warn him to return to his wife? Are they faithful to the elder and the deacon to tell them to step down until they can rule their own houses well? Are they faithful to make sure that true widows and orphans are being tended to? Are they faithful to pray without ceasing? Are they faithful not to dull the edge of the sword even when the rich folks in the church get angry? Are they faithful to make sure that lazy people who don't work are compelled to get off their double wide and go get a job? Are they faithful to rebuke those who lie and cheat in their businesses? Are they faithful to make sure that if a man does not work, that he does not eat? Are they faithful to make sure they are not making merchandise of the precious people of God? Are they faithful to their own wives and children? Are they faithful to hold each other accountable to the authority of Scripture? Are they faithful to feed people what they need, not what they want? Are they faithful to edify the believer and not just entertain them? Are they faithful to go to the presumptuous prophet and rebuke him publicly for signing God's name to something that God did not say? Are they faithful? Are they faithful? Are they faithful? In the Bible, it was faithfulness of the ministry that determined its worth. In the Bible, it was the godly and holy lives of the ministers that made them credible, not how many books they wrote or how many angels they talked to. In the Bible, it was the trueness of their doctrine that validated their ministry, not how well they could demonstrate signs and wonders. Are you faithful today, dear friends? Are you faithful to Jesus? Are you faithful to what the Holy Scriptures teach? Do you pray for long periods of time for more strength so that you can be faithful? Do you spend your time in prayer seeking for supernatural power to resist temptation? Are you begging God for lost souls? Are you asking God to bless your brothers and sisters? Can you genuinely rejoice when others are blessed? Or does that sting of jealousy and envy still hit you when you hear about them their blessings? Look, I've got to stop right now, but please, please, join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the book of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.